On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program, it is the Ron Van Dam Show. Look, see, it is. How are you? Good to be with you. All right, that's enough. That'll do it. Thank you for the background music. Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen, on the harmonica, whatever that was. Guitar? I don't know instruments. Welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. For the next 30 minutes, I will blow your mind. You ready? Here I go. Do you want me to blow harder? I blew your mind. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you. Thank you so much. Please stop applauding. Oh my God, a standing ovation. Sit down. This is so embarrassing. All right. Enough of my fantasies. Well, it's the day after Labor Day weekend. I don't know what Labor Day was anymore, but I think it was this past weekend. I celebrated by shoving hot dogs down my throat, eating sugar. This could surely be the end of my life if Labor Day continued any longer. It was the last official day of barbecuing, although you can barbecue anytime you want. I really don't care, but officially. And this is not, it's still summer. It's going to be summer for a little while longer, but it's actually over. Temperatures don't reflect that. It's still 80 and 90 degrees in most places in the country. yet it's September. I don't remember it being like that. When I was a kid in September, it was cool outside. What the hell happened here? What's going on? Is hell, is Satan and the pitchfork and the burning hell actually crossing into September now? Come on, it's not supposed to be that way. I don't like that. I don't like the first hot day of the year should be Memorial Day, and that still should be a comfortable day. Instead, it's like 200 degrees outside. And Labor Day is supposed to be getting cooler. It's not. Something's wrong. I don't know why we're not exploring other planets to set up shop. I don't understand why CVS is not building its own rocket ship. I think CVSs only exist on this planet, oddly enough. What would be the major companies that would open up shop immediately on the moon or on Mars? CVS, Starbucks, there'd be an Amazon distribution point. There's no question about that. And that's about it, really. Maybe, yeah, that's about it. It's all we really need in our lives. Starbucks, Amazon, and CVS. Sure, liquor stores, but they're not big enough to actually, you know, to have a certain liquor store be on every corner yet. I'm fascinated by franchises. I really am. I'm still fascinated by donuts. I don't understand how that happened. I don't understand how donut shops make any money. I really don't. They're little pieces of pastry, and people drive up and they get a couple of them and some coffee, and these places are successful. I don't get that. I don't get it. Maybe it's because they charge $25 for a cup of coffee. Maybe that's it. But what are you paying $25 for a cup of coffee for? You can go into a gas station and get it for 99 cents, and it's really just as good. Stop with your highfalutin coffee snobbishness. Stop it. People put stuff in coffee anyway, cream and sugar. Doesn't really matter what you're drinking. It's just the cream and the sugar into anything is going to be tasty. I don't understand donut shops. I don't understand why police officers are always associated with donuts. Why them? It's not the only profession. I think fire persons, what do you call those things? They go into donut shops too. You know, I've talked about this before. It's a tradition. If you're having a meeting at your office, so a sales meeting or something, somebody goes to the donut shop and gets a couple dozen donuts, and that's what you eat. It's just, why don't you just pick up a bag of kale? We don't do that, maybe in California, but not here. Not in the rest of the country. We eat donuts. We eat stuff that'll make us... Let's have a meeting and make everybody fat and sick. Come on. Jelly donuts? That's a joke, right? Is that real? That's a joke. They take a donut, they fill it with jelly. I mean, enough jelly so when you bite into it, it explodes all over your clothes. We all know this happens. We all know that they explode. It's like filling a balloon with jelly and then you pop it. It goes all over the place. It's on the walls, the ceiling, everything. We all know that's what jelly donuts were made for, to embarrass people. Come on, man. Jelly donuts? You can come up something better than that. They have the cream-filled donuts with the custard inside. That's pretty much just as bad, but it doesn't explode as much. It just oozes. Jelly is all over the place. It's like it shot somebody and their blood's all over the wall. It's a similar kind of effect. Coffee and donuts. Come on. Can't we be a little more creative than that? I don't understand it. We walk around in life with two kinds of liquid, coffee and water. When I was a kid, I didn't walk around with water. Why would I do that? Water was everywhere. It was in a hose in my backyard. I used to drink water out of the faucet coming out of my house in the backyard out of a hose. Nothing could be dirtier. I survived. I'm a little mentally fucked up, but other than that, I'm pretty okay. There were water fountains everywhere, in public places. People were sticking their mouths on top of metal things all over the place. These water fountains. Not good enough right now, ladies and gentlemen. We gotta walk around with bottles of water. I gotta have my water, otherwise I'll shrivel up and die. Come on, what's with the water thing? Where did this come from? Other generations didn't walk around with water. What's wrong with you? Now we've taken it a step further. We used to walk around with little plastic bottles of water. Poland Spring made a fortune off of us. But now we've taken it a step further. Now we're buying these insulated containers, these thermos water bottle things, like we're constantly trying to roam the desert. It's like one of those movies where the sun is beating down on the desert and there's dead animals and dead cactus all over the place. And it's like we're wandering through the desert sands. Water, I have my thermos of water. What, if you don't drink every 2 seconds, what, are you going to shrivel up and die? What the hell is this about? Now it's a canister. Now I'm walking around with canisters. I remember the movies. They had things, they were called canteens. They looked like little flying saucers. You fill them with water. They were made of aluminum or tin or something. And you carry them in the desert. Or when you're hiking, people used to hike and they would take water because they would become parched. Oh my God, you don't want your lips to get chapped. Women do that, man, and so do some men. They walk around with chapstick like they're in the desert again. What's with you? What's with this desert thing? They walk around with chapstick, and every three and they're coming flavors, by the way. Mmm, tasty. They walk around with chaps, and every 3 seconds they're putting chapstick on their lips. God forbid. God forbid. Bid one of my lips should get a little bit dry. Your lips must be moist every second of your breathing life. And water must be flowing through your mouth continually. They said to drink 8 glasses of water a day, which I think is a lot. I mean, I'm up all night peeing personally. But some people misunderstood that, and they think it's 8 gallons of water. You know, you can drown yourself in water if you drink too much of it. I think that's why people are weird. They're drowning themselves. That canister of water's got to go everywhere with you. Everywhere. I got to go to the bathroom. Where's my canister of water? I can't go in the bathroom without my canister of water. And these canisters are so remarkable. They keep the water cool all day. Ooh, what a scientific miracle that is. It's called a freaking thermos. What's wrong with us? Actually, what's wrong with you? I don't carry around a thermos. And I don't walk around with bottles of water. I drink water now and then, not continually. You're not fat. You're bloated. All these people walking around with bellies and, you know, they don't fit into their clothes anymore. Stop drinking so much water. It's like the air in a balloon. You're bloated. Let some air out. Pee a little, will you? God, what, have you been holding it in for like 3 weeks? What the hell's wrong with you? Stop drinking so much water. Cell phones. Can't go anywhere without my cell phone. One hand I got my cell phone, the other hand I got a bottle of water. I got no hands left. God only gave me 2 hands. One's for the cell phone. The other is for the water. Sometimes I'll walk around my neighborhood with my dog. I like to walk my dog. Actually, she walks me. My dog, I thought that I got a dog to keep me company. I think the dog got me to keep her company. She walks me. She walks ahead of me. She pulls me along. I might as well be on a skateboard or something. She just pulls me. And when she crouches down and does a turd, I pick it up and I carry it around like I'm her butler. Dog's got it, man. I don't. I feed myself. My dog, I feed her. She doesn't feed herself. I have to get the dog food out, and I have to make it attractive, and then she eats it. Then I got to ask her if she wants to go out and pee or something. I mean, it's just like, wow, who's taking care of who here? It's a funny thing. Yeah, it's a funny thing. I walk my dog on a leash. You have to. Can't walk your kids on a leash. Have you noticed that? Try that. Well, you'll be in big trouble. That's called abuse. Yeah, I mean, kids can run away too. But you can't leash them. I think a few years ago, or like maybe a decade ago, or maybe back in 1627. No, I think it was in a supermarket, and I saw this lady and her little kid. I think the kid was like 3 years old or something, had a harness on with a leash attached to it. And this lady was like walking her kid or something. It was the strangest thing. I think everybody in the supermarket wondered if they should call the police or not, or Child Protective Services. But maybe this is a thing. I don't know. I haven't seen any kids on leashes recently, and I miss it. Anyway, yeah, you can't do that. I mean, if you're going to go out for a long time, you put your dog in a pen, in a little cage, and they're very happy in there. They're very comfortable in that space. Apparently, you can't do that with children anymore. You can't decide, I'm going to go out partying. I'm going to go and have some drinks with my friends. I'm going to put the children in the cage. They'll be fine. They can't get into any mischief in there. I'll give them a little bowl of milk. They should be good. I don't think you can do that. I'm not sure you can do that. I don't know. Because one's a dog and one's a human. These are both lives. These are both breathing things. What's the difference? I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, whatever. I will ask you, although I will tell you ahead of time, I don't really care what your response is. I can't hear you anyway because of this media thing. How is your Labor Day? All right, you go on with your boring story about what you did, and I'll nod my head up and down and go, Oh, tell me more. And then what did you do? He said, That's incredibly interesting to nobody but you. I think you have to assess when you're telling a story. You have to look at the other person's face and see if they're taking it in, or whether they're looking off in space or playing with their phone and aren't really listening to you at all, and they obviously don't care. At that point, you should just stop the story. Because now you're just talking to yourself. So how was your Labor Day weekend? Come on. I have an interesting guest coming. Well, I don't know how interesting the guest is going to be. But yet I do feature them. But first, before we do that, a short little commercial pause. For no reason other than I need a little short commercial pause in order to continue my plight. So we'll be right back after this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV. I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing great. Dave Pilkey joins us now. The Dog Man, A Tale of Two Kitties. This is exciting. Has it been out very long?
No, it just came out last week.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where did Captain Underpants come from?
It actually came from my imagination when I was a child. I was having a lot of trouble in school, and my teacher was always sending me out into the hallway, and I didn't have very much else to do out there, so I started drawing pictures and making up stories about Captain Underpants.
Wow. And this has been going on for 20 years?
Well, in my life, it's been going on for almost 45 years. Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. So do you remember the first Captain Underpants? You remember that far back?
I do. I actually remember around the time that it started, my teacher was telling the class a story, and she used the word underwear, and everyone in my class started laughing, and that made her so angry, and she was like, "Boys and girls, underwear is not funny," and we just laughed even harder, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea for a comic. I should do something with that.
Perfect. And even funnier, of course, underpants. There is nothing funnier in the world than underpants. I mean, because a lot happens. And
I know.
And when you see somebody in their underpants, it's hilarious.
It can be, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What is the age group widened over the years that are fans?
It actually has. It's interesting when I do an author visit. Sometimes I'll go and I'll talk to kids and parents and teachers. And when kids line up to get their book signed, I'll have five-year-olds, I'll have kids in college. And just recently I've been getting grown-ups who were fans when they were children, and they're bringing their own children who are also fans.
That's
so
great.
I'm feeling very old these days.
We're all feeling very old these days.
Yeah.
And with underpants even older. What about... Hey, in the movies, hello, wow, how did this happen?
You know, it was, I just got very, very lucky. DreamWorks Animation was interested in making a film, and we got connected with David Soren, who is an amazing writer and director, and he took over the project, and he just created gold. The greatest experience.
Now, I understand that you have involvement in the movie itself. Usually when this happens, you sell the rights over, for them to develop. But how involved were you this time with this kind of thing?
I was actually pretty involved. I was surprised because I'd heard horror stories about this type of thing, but DreamWorks Animation was very, very kind. They wanted as much involvement as I would give, and they actually listened to my ideas, which was very surprising. Yeah. But the nicest thing was hearing the director and getting to know him, and when he told me that, he was telling me, he said, "I don't think Captain Underpants is really about a superhero, is it?" And I was like, no, you're right. It's really about a creative friendship. And since he got it, I felt like I could kind of step back.
Oh, I got it. Okay, fine. So, this is very exciting. So what happens after the movie? They usually do like sequels and stuff. Is that too early?
Oh yeah, we have our fingers crossed for a sequel. Yeah, we're very hopeful. It's coming out on DVD this week, so we're excited about that too.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. So, have you ever had the inclination to take the stories and make them somewhat modern in the sense of what the country's going through at a particular time, or how much of the social conscious do you put into it, or do you try to not let it get into it?
I try not to really let that part of it get into it. The thing that I find most interesting is to see the characters, these two creative characters in Captain Underpants, as they make their own comics, to see them grow up through their artwork, and just to see their ideas get more mature, and to see them, the themes of their stories to get more grown up as they themselves grow up. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, it's when I speak to authors who, you know, write books and novels, they create the characters, and then within a couple of chapters, the characters are writing the books for them, almost you know, physically. Does that happen here as well?
It really does, actually. That's one of the things that surprised me is that George and Harold, the two boys in the Captain Underpants stories, they also create their own comic books, and now they're doing their own spin-offs, and I kind of feel like I'm writing through them.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, our time is short, but it's fascinating to speak to you, as I've been aware of the series, and it's nice to speak to the mind behind it. Give me a list of ways that I can get involved and get my kids involved and all that. Where can I go for more information?
Well, you could go online, pilkey.com. That's just my last name, P-I-L-K-E-Y. Mm-hmm. There's lots of information. And also, my publisher, Scholastic, they have a wonderful website with lots of resources. Scholastic.com will also be a great, great help.
Great. And what's the information on the movie?
It comes out on DVD this week, and I'm hoping we all have our fingers crossed for a sequel. We're very hopeful.
So we can find that on Amazon, et cetera, everywhere.
Yes, wherever you find movies and DVDs.
Wherever fine movies and DVDs are sold, as we used to say. Dave, pleasure That's speaking. Right. Pleasure speaking to you. Continue. Good
Thanks
luck.
Thanks so much, Ron.
You take
Thank
care.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do that. Always a pleasure to be with you. Not always. No, wait a minute. Not always. Usually. Not always. You know what the great thing about going to a bar and having a drink with a friend, and I use the term friend lightly, not the Facebook kind, but the real kind. You know what I love about that is because after a couple of drinks, you both love each other in a phony sense, but yet the words are spoken. Hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. We got to do this more often. You're great to talk to. You're really great. Oh, you are too. We should do this more frequently. You're a good person. I just want to tell you, you're really a good person. I love you, man. And you're just a good, good person. You're a great. You're great company. You're really great company. You're better company than nobody. You're great. You're just great. You're great company. Then the next day, you sober up, and the person calls you, and you don't answer the phone. I'm not talking to that schmuck. What a waste of time that was. Yeah, alcohol, man, alcohol. I'm not sure if alcohol makes you real or makes you phony. I'm not too sure. When you drink and you love everybody and you feel close to everybody all of a sudden, is that the way you really feel? I don't think so. Or is the alcohol creating some type of mystical, wonderful utopia? Or does the alcohol bring out the truth in you like sodium pentothal? I think that's the chemical. I don't know. Are you telling the truth? Are you letting your guard down when you're drunk? I don't know which it is. Think about that, and there'll be a quiz tomorrow. Does the consumption of alcohol, not rubbing alcohol, but does the consumption of alcohol in alcoholic beverages and drinks and things like that, does it make you softer or does it make you honest? Does it put you into a phony world of wonderful? Or does it bring out the real you? Which is it? I don't know the answer to that. I've asked many people and I get all different kinds of answers. So nobody knows. So stop bothering me. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, but until then, I wish you peace.